Jesus comes into Jerusalem in great triumph with all these people singing his praises. I wonder what that crowd expected to happen next. Remember, they were an occupied nation. That meant there's another country had invaded them and was holding them captive, as it were, the Romans. And I think a lot of the Jews would have expected Jesus to gather an army around him and to go and throw out the Romans, don't you think? He's their king. He's their king. Isn't this what kings are supposed to do to restore that kingdom? That's what they've expected. But look how this passage in John's Gospel goes on. John chapter 12. This is the very next verse we read earlier. It's not quite the next verse, actually. This is verse 20. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." And Philip went to tell Andrew. And Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Okay, children, I'm going to ask you to try not to rustle your sweet papers just for the next little while and listen, if possible. Okay? I know it's very difficult, isn't it? But just listen for the next little while and then you can eat your sweets after that. Jesus said this, "Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and it dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." You know, Jesus is going to be glorified. He said, "Now is the Son of Man going to be glorified." He means himself when he says that. He is going to get glory, just like that Roman general got glory. But look how it's going to happen. He talks about this seed falling into the ground. You know, if you're going to have a harvest, some of you have been doing some gardening. Maybe it's spring, isn't it? Has anyone planted anything? It's springtime. I know some of you have. We've got all kinds of stuff shooting up in our house. But what have you planted, Adam? You planted your hamster. Okay. That's very sad, isn't it, that your hamster died? Yeah. Have you planted any seeds that have grown into plants? Susanna, what have you planted? Tomatoes, butternut squash, and courgettes. Yeah. So when you plant a seed, the seed has to go into the ground, doesn't it? It's like being buried. The seed has to be buried in the ground, and then the plant grows from the seed. And that's the picture. That's the image Jesus is using here. He wants to produce many seed, life. He wants to produce life. He wants us to have life. But for us to have life, the seed, he's talking about his own life, has to be buried. He had to die and go into the ground. And that's what he's talking about. His death was a sacrifice for our sin. He died to bring us eternal life, just like that single seed going into the ground. But how curious. Jesus has just had this great triumph. He's just had all these people singing his praises. And now he says, "And now I'm going to die." It's a bit like that slave whispering in the general's ear, isn't it? "Remember, you have to die. Remember, you have to die." It's a bit like that. But you know, there's a huge difference, because here's the truth between that Roman parade with the general and Jesus's triumph. Here's the truth. The greatest triumph for Jesus wasn't entering Jerusalem. That was just a foretaste. That was a rehearsal for something greater to come. Because the greatest triumph to come was going to come after he died and because of his death. First of all, as God raised him from the dead, and Jesus came back back to his Father's home, didn't he? At his right hand. Here's our Nike swoosh. The Roman generals experienced great triumph only to die. But to get the shape of Jesus' life, his great triumph, we have to turn that round a bit. This is the shape of Jesus' life. He came He died, he went down into the grave, and then God raised him up and exalted him at his right hand. That's the shape of Jesus' life. That's the greatest triumph of all. That's the greatest victory. You know, Jesus, God's own Son, came to earth. Then he went to the cross and he went to the grave and God raised him up. But he had to go right down first before God raised him up and glorified him. For Jesus, the way to being up, the way to up is down. He went down first and God raised him up. And that's exactly the shape we see in another passage, another famous passage in the Bible that some of you will know very well. This is what Paul writes in his letters to the Philippians. He says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." He went down into death. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He went down and God raised him up. Isn't that wonderful? That's the good news of the gospel. But do you see the shape? How amazing it is that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the King, should come and die. You know, kings don't often lead their troops into battle anymore, do they? They used to do that. They don't do that anymore. Most generals don't even lead their troops into battle. They tend to sit behind and make the plans, don't they? And they sit somewhere safe. But we know this victorious general, the general that we're praising today, Jesus Christ, we know him by his scars. They are battle scars because he fought for us. And he achieved a great victory. He suffers with us. He suffers instead of us. He experiences our destiny, the destiny of death. But you know, this is the wonderful thing. The reason the slave whispered in the general's ear in the Roman triumphs was to remind the general that it wouldn't last. It couldn't last forever, this great triumph. But unlike that triumph, Jesus' victory will last forever. It is not passing. He is king and he will be king forever. Death cannot spoil his reign because he's conquered it once and for all. And when we put our trust in him, which is what the Bible calls us to do, then we share in his triumph. We share in his new life. His victory becomes our victory forever. But you know, here's the thing. This shape that we've seen, this shape, the way to up is down. You know, that applies to us as well, actually. Because for us to be lifted up with Jesus, we've got to put our trust in Jesus. We've got to hand over our lives to Jesus. That's quite a humbling thing to do. Because we have very proud hearts. And we think to ourselves, I don't actually need Jesus' help. I can live my life my way, to my rules. I'm all right. I'm all right, thank you. My life's not so bad. I'm better than most people, so I'll be all right. God won't shut me out of his kingdom because I'm basically all right. But you know, that's not the issue, really. The issue is, it's like we're all on a big ship and the ship has got a hole in and the ship is sinking. And if the ship is sinking, it's no good the sailors standing around and saying to each other, well, you know what, I'm a better sailor than him, so I'll be all right. I'm a better sailor than that guy over there, so, you know, I'll be all right. If the ship is going down, we've got to get off the ship, haven't we? And into another boat. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. To not stay on the ship of our own pride, in our own ability, in our own goodness, but to get into Jesus' lifeboat and to be rescued. And it's our pride that stops us doing that. So in order to commit our lives to Jesus, we have to go down. We have to say sorry. We have to say, Lord, yes, I know I'm a sinner and I need saving. I can't do it by myself. I rely on you. And when we do that, he lifts us up. gloriously. He saves us. And you know, sometimes I say to those of us who have put our trust in Jesus, you know, sometimes that shape still applies to our lives here and now, in our lives today, doesn't it? Because so often the way God achieves his glory and his purpose is through us going through difficulties and hard times and suffering. The Apostle Paul knew this because he went through lots of suffering. He wrote this, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." That's a wonderful encouragement to us all. If you're a believer trusting in Jesus and struggling, that God is at work for his greater glory and for your greater good. It's what he's doing in your life. It's true of all of us who've joined our lives to Jesus' life by faith. But I have to say this. You know, if we're not trusting in Jesus, then we can't share in his resurrection life. And that slave behind our ear whispers, "Remember, you are but mortal. Remember, you have to die." And it's true. Once we've died, if we die our own death, then that's it, isn't it? Whatever triumph we've known in this life, whatever happiness and success, it's gone if we die our own death. But for the one who trusts in Jesus, then we know that he has died our death for us so that we can live his life. And then when we put our trust in him, dying to self, then he will glorious raise us up to be with him forever. You know, Palm Sunday was just a foretaste. I said that, didn't I? It's just a dress rehearsal for something better to come. You know, during the last few months, we've been preparing, everyone, the country's been preparing for the Olympic Games, London 2012. Wow, is it really happening? Is it really just that little distance away? And there have been all sorts of events, haven't there, in the venues, in the different sports venues, kind of trial events to check for any issues and hiccups and things like that. I think there was a race that ended at the Olympic Stadium yesterday, wasn't there? But I heard this amazing thing, I hope it's true. I heard this on the radio, because it's lovely if so. Apparently this week, just as they were putting the finish, after putting the finishing touches to the Olympic Stadium, the construction workers on the stadium, the guys who've been building this, held their own Olympic Games. They had their own races and their own throwing competition. They had throwing the brick, apparently. Now, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, if you were working on that stadium, you would, wouldn't you? It's what you do. You'd want to tell your grandchildren, before Usain Bolt crossed that finish line, I was there. I got there before him. A dress rehearsal, amazing dress rehearsal of the Olympics. A foretaste of what's to come. But you know, whatever the celebration is of the guy who wins, who won that 100 metres, whoever wins in the big race in August, you know, that's nothing compared to the triumph to come. Palm Sunday was a foretaste of something that happened, that has happened since, when Jesus was raised from the dead and entered back into his Father's presence, when he was ascended back. We talk about him being ascended, lifted up on high, back to where his Father was. Imagine the celebration in heaven that day. Amazing. But it's a foretaste of something else too. We've sung about it. The foretaste of when Jesus returns to this earth. He'll lead a great triumph that day. And every knee will bow before him. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Those of us who trust, confess him as Lord now, and those who haven't yet reached that conclusion, they will have to acknowledge that he is King. It's an amazing thing that's coming. When Jesus returns in triumph, he will bring his kingdom in for once and for all. And that's the great victory. But friends, the challenge is this. As we follow him now, are we following him now so that we know we'll join in that triumph then? Are we singing his praises now, looking forward to that glorious day when he leads us in triumph? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, who is our King. We thank you that on Palm Sunday we got that foretaste of that great day to come when Jesus will return. And the whole world, all that have ever lived will be raised up. And Lord, on that day he will come and everyone will have to acknowledge who he is. And Father, those who have not recognized him will not have a place in your kingdom, but those who do will share in that kingdom for eternity. Father, I pray that every one of us here will have our hearts ready for that day. But more than that, we want to be living in praise of Jesus now. We want to be living our lives following the King, triumphing in him. In Jesus' name, amen.